Crab Feast. You know what it's all about.
This is the Crab Feast. I'm yelling, fuck that. You ain't gotta ask me, cause you could trust that. Every Tuesday, you already knew though. Ryan Sickler, soccer star, JUCO. Above ground, cool goes, better than most. Jay Larson, self-diagnosed. Go down low this week, last week. Here we go again, fuck the Crab Feast.
It's the joint.
Welcome back to the Crab Feast, y'all. Another Tuesday. Another Crab Feast for that ass.
Ooh-ee.
That, I got to be honest with you, is good to touch pitches with you again.
God, it feels good to touch your pitch twice.
Last week, I had to roll Sangle on the pitch touching. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, not really on the pitch touch. We did some pre-recorded pitch touching.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations. You are now, this is the first time you've done the Crab Feast as a dad. You're mm-hmm. actually a dad.
Glad to be.
Congratulations,
proud to be.
Baby Reed Larson, everybody.
Baby Reed, y'all.
Jay Larson's a dad.
First thing I want to say, hey, everybody, good to be here. Glad we could touch pitches.
Good to be where? Tell them where we are right now.
That's another thing. We are, I built, as some of you know, I Instagrammed and tweeted a little, what some people would call a shed in the backyard. Got windows in it, though, and electricity. I call it a cabin. Sometimes I call it a cottage. Cottage sometimes. But right now, we are officially in the Crab Shack, y'all. What up? Welcome to the Crab Shack.
We're in the Crab Shack right now.
And
so
we're
if you hear
it.
Birds and planes and shit go by, it's a little something different.
It's just a little something nice for you guys. Glad to be here. Yeah, baby Reed was born. And the first thing I want to say is, you guys are so cool. I mean, a lot of people, it's so cool, dude. You saw how many people were hitting me. People, everyone was saying, congrats on baby Reed, and I appreciate it to all of you guys. Some people saying, did you touch his pitch when he came out? You know, saying congrats to Uncle Ryan. First of all, Ryan's not an uncle.
Not an uncle.
A lot of people have been asking me, like, what it is. We can talk about it a little later. I just, and we'll get into it. But you guys are so sweet, and you guys are so supportive and so cool. And it's ultimately refreshing just to see so many people. I was hoping kind of, and I don't want to say this because probably now we'll get shelled with it, but I was hoping somebody would be like, fuck baby Reed, fuck the Crit. Not one person. You guys are too sweet for it.
I didn't even think of that.
And I love you
fuck
guys.
Fuck your son.
Fuck your goddamn.
I mean, you know, I'm going to love him.
Yeah. Anyway, it's glad to be back. I'm glad to be back. Yeah, nice. I got you before you did. And just one date for you guys this week, Thursday at the
Hollywood. Where can they follow you?
I'll get there.
Okay.
You can follow me around my neighborhood. I'll be pushing a stroller on Twitter, Jay Larson Comedy, on Instagram, Jay Larson Comedy, jlarsoncomedy.com. And this Thursday, I'll be in town doing Ari Shaffir's storytelling show at the Hollywood Improv at 8 p.m. That's the 27th. So if you're in town, come out. I'm going to tell some stories on that. It's going to be a lot of fun. Sickle Cell, how you doing?
Ryan Sickler on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, ryansickler.com. If you're in Los Angeles, we are at the Flappers for four shows this weekend, February 28th and March 1st, mm-hmm. Friday and Saturday, four shows, Crab Feast stand-up show. We will be blasting out links for $10 tickets. March 20th, we are at the Brea Improv. Use code CRAB for $10 tickets when you get those. You'll save a lot of money. American Comedy Company in San Diego on March 26th. I will be down there. Looking forward to seeing San Diego Feasters. Use code CRAB again for $10 tickets.
Boom. Such a good deal.
It is a good
deal.
And
I love that we can do that when we can do that.
And for any and all things Crab Feast related, go to thecrabfeast.com where you can get your new merch, and you guys certainly have fucking done that.
Boom.
Man. I mean, you guys are buying the shit out of that UPS t-shirt.
Getting on it, y'all.
I love it. But in addition to the UPS shirts, It's funny because you had had the idea for onesies, and then they pop up online. I mean, these our fans are the best. They know exactly what we're thinking. They're just a lot faster than we are at the son of a bitch.
We're not that quick.
We've got UPS shirts. We've got FTCF and Tuesday's tees in new colors. Hoodies also. We've got the baby onesies, and we got beer koozies. Two-pack of beer koozies now. You can get those, too.
Just in time, because summer,
it's on its way, man. I know some of you are buried under snow out there while we're sitting back here in the cottage. But I hope it lightens up for you a little bit. Thank you guys for using our Amazon link. It really helps the show out.
Simple step. I say it every time. It's one step. You guys do it, and God, it means everything to us.
You can get our Facebook fan page link right there. Go like it and post on it, as all of you do. And whatever your listening preference is, it is available on thecrabfeast.com. And thank you for the 5-star iTunes reviews. They're so fucking funny, and they don't stop coming. And their originality doesn't either. So thank you for bringing it on those.
Yeah, you guys are the best at that. And as always, might as well face it. You're addicted to Zoom.
Robert Palmer on
Little
that.
Palmer, dude. You remember that video?
Yeah, hell yeah. Yeah. Sure, Didn't he do like 3 videos that were exactly like that, though, with all the models in the back? I feel like he did like 3 songs, and he did all the same shit.
Yeah,
like,
he did a lot.
Just going to do 3 of these today here. GoDaddy is offering one newertransfer.com domain name for $1.99. Go to thecrabfeast.com and click the GoDaddy banner today.
Glad we could help some of you get your business started with that. I'm glad you guys are taking advantage.
Now, before we get into today's guest, I wanted to ask you, tell everyone about the birth. What's it like?
I mean, it was pretty dope. Well, first of all, we did a C-section. We had a breached, Reed was breached, and some of you out there that have kids or have had a breech baby might know what that means. I'll tell you this. It means that you basically, your head.
Ass first.
Yeah, ass first. But it also means their legs are like spread. You know what I mean? So their legs are like pressed up. So you try and change this guy's diaper or whatever. His legs, dude, are like kicked out to the side. And he's kicking because they're in a crazy position.
He's going
to
be a male cheerleader.
Yeah, he's thinking about it, man. He does it. He's thinking about it. But we're sitting there and they call. I'm out there waiting because they're giving her anesthesia and stuff. It was going to be a C-section. And then I'm just waiting, you know, and then the nurse comes out. She goes, okay, let's go. It's about to happen. And I go, what? What are you talking about? And she's like, it's about to happen. And I go, do I need this face mask thing on? She goes, yeah, you got to put it on. Guess what, dude? That face mask is a little tricky to get on, especially when you got like a hairnet over your head. And it's getting like
a hairnet.
I thought I was going to miss it.
What are you serving lunch in a cafeteria? You having a fucking kid, man.
Mac and cheese is up. This motherfucker at Hometown Buffet ain't fucking wearing his mouth mask. SARS, man. You know, and so, you know, I've told you before, and I told everyone I was playing that gag on our doctor. He's a little bit of a clown, so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's a hilarious guy. We love him to death. So they get a screen up right at Kate's, like, breast so you don't see what's going on below. And I'm just there, like, you know, breathe, how you feeling? She's like, I just feel a lot of tugging. You know what I mean? They're just pulling her abdomen.
Yanking.
You know?
Oh, yeah. God.
And then we're talking. All of a sudden, we just look up, and he's holding the baby over the thing. And he goes, what do you think of this? And he's like,
showing just, it, like over top of
threw
it.
Threw it up at us. We were dying laughing. And so then I would like go over, and I'd take a little video, and then I come back to Kate. I'm like, this is what's going on over there, you know? And she's like, go back. And dude's a baller, dude. We just love him. He's crazy. I mean, every parent out there, you know, I'm going to save people. And I've said it enough.
Yeah, you ladies are warriors, by the way. For real. Oh. That's some, we could not do that shit.
Dude, I would, no lie, I would walk over from her to the baby who's in the other, they're like washing him up and stuff. And then I'd do like a little peripheral look over. It looked like something I saved Private Ryan. God. I was like, is that Giovanni Ribisi?
She going to make it. We got to get the chopper out of here now, man.
Is that Normandy? And I couldn't say anything to her, you know,
right,
I can't
freak her out.
But I was like, holy shit. And then you don't realize. I mean, you see it. I saw it like along the way, the early stages, like, oh, you're going to have a baby. But then you get down to like D-Day and you're just realizing, holy shit, it gets intense. It can get crazy, dude, towards the end. And then like, especially like, you know, we went in on a Monday. Okay. Went in on a Monday.
Yeah, just missed the Tuesday.
Yeah. And everyone thinks it was a Tuesday. It was actually Monday. And I said to him, like, can we hold out till tomorrow? He's like, this baby needs to come now. And I was like, all right, man, let's do it. And so we went in Monday morning at 9. And then he said to us, he goes, you got to come back today. And we're like, what? And he's like, yeah, this baby's coming today. We're like, Jesus. And we just came home, prepped the house, and boom, now we got a human being to take care of. And the first night in the hospital, that guy slept like the whole day, right?
Fuck's the matter with him, man?
He just sleeps, dude.
Just got here. He's sleeping all the
Barely
time.
Barely eats, slept the whole day. So I fall asleep on like the cot that they have for me. I stayed in the hospital with her all 4 days. as every man should, you son of a fuck. And I woke up the next day, and I was just like, man, that was so nice last night. And then I look over, and I see him. I'm like, God damn it, he's still here?
He's still
here. That's it.
You're like, I'm out. And that's when you left. That's what I told everybody.
That's when I bounced,
like,
yeah.
He just left us on.
I was like, you know what, man? Family tradition, man. It's a family tradition. You have to go on this your own. But no, it was amazing. I'm not going to spare you guys the details of telling you how much I love my son, because, you know, everyone should. But it's amazing. And all you parents out there that reached out to me, I appreciate it. And all you folks that don't have kids, I appreciate it. And I appreciate being here, and I appreciate having Crab Feast in my life, and I appreciate our next guest, too.
Appreciate the fact that you're a new father, and we have a new baby in the world, and we got a brand new guest on the Crab Feast today.
We sure do. Ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to welcome, for the first time, my co-host on Best Buzz of America and a very funny comedian, Mr. Sean Patton. Welcome to the Crab Feast.
Thank
Patton,
you.
Welcome to the Crab Feast, Sean.
Where's the crabs? How many people say that right off the jump?
I think you're the second.
That's it?
Yeah.
Nah, there's more.
Yeah,
there's more people fast. Before we get too far into this, plug away, Sean Patton, at Twitter, whatever you'd like. Dates.
You follow me at Twitter. It's at Mr. Sean Patton. I know. It looks like Mrs. Ian Patton. I know. And if you want to point that out to me, you will be unfollowed.
Mrs. Ian Patton.
You'll be blocked. I mean, I know. It's Mrs. Ian. But
was Sean Patton taken?
Yeah. And then when but I joined Twitter in 2010 when nobody really gave a shit about it.
Yeah, and who had it?
Yeah, who the hell had
some
it?
Some dude named...
I'll tell you who gave a fuck about it. Sean Patton.
Another
guy named Sean Patton who got... No, there's just Sean... There's a Sean Patton and then a Sean T. Patton, who both of whom follow me, I think, and both of whom regularly chime in like, dude, don't go killing any prostitutes, bro. I don't want that on my hands. And I'm like, right. Why don't you go not killing any...
Yeah.
Clearly that you've already done... You're just
fucking
trying to
dirt bags.
But yeah, somebody had it. So it's Mr. MrSeanPatton. Follow me on Twitter. If you live in Chicago, I will be at the Comedy Bar February 21st and 22nd, which is next week.
Chicago, we've been there.
Chicago, we were there drinking.
We sure did.
Drinking Malort.
We got most banged up. You know, as That's some rare. Of you may know, when we did Best Bars in America, Chicago was where we got the most drunk. We drank shots of Malort, was like towards the end of the night. And at one point, the EP was like, "Oh, you guys got to slow down on the Malort. We did like four in a row. Remember?
Yeah. I remember him telling the bartender, like, "Stop. Can you stop pouring these guys? Can you stop? Oh, okay, after that one, stop."
And the bartender was the only guy who hosted a place that was nervous, because he was like, "Yeah, so you know, we're a fucking bar. We fucking, you know, we got all these fucking beers and fucking whiskey, and we're just like, Jesus, this guy's wrecked.
Yeah, I can't. I want to sit in the editing room for this one.
Yeah.
Just like, how are we going to lift all those fucks out of there? Well, that's Chicago's a city where people like they're. I mean, it's a fun town. But you ever been, Ryan?
Yes, I have.
Are you from there?
I'm not.
Was I about to? Oh, never mind. No. Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah.
That's a people drink. They drink there.
They
like
drink
it's.
Their faces
well, wait.
Up.
You're from New Orleans, right?
I know, and I'm saying that as a New Orleanian.
That
people in Chicago, because people in New Orleans drink at an easygoing, calm, no rush pace.
Pull your titties out pace.
Right. Yeah. But no one's ever. I will say in New Orleans, no one's ever fucking shitbagged. People are just like buzzing.
Yeah,
but in Chicago at like midnight.
Well, the tourists are
wrecked. Yeah.
Chicago, everybody's just
by like midnight, and then they're like, "We're going to a 5 a.m. bar." It's like it's 12:30. But you got plans. I see. It was fun. Chicago was fun, man.
When Sean got here, I was like, "Yeah, we'll tell some stories. You know, we'll get together." And mm-hmm. he's like, "Yeah, I love it." And I go, "Do you have anything you want to talk about?" He goes, "I got this one story." And I go, "Well, what's it about?" He goes, "Sexual." Only thing he said, sexual.
Sorry.
I guess that kind of gives it away. No, you know, I think a lot of people assume comedians just have sex all the time.
Like on the road.
On the road.
Yeah, for sure.
Or people assume, or like, other, you know, and it's not, I have this one piece of material that is about my preferences in the act of cunnilingus. Very pro, you know, because I wrote that bit because I felt like for years I would just see so many comedians get on stage and just like bash, like, "I don't eat pussy. Women don't wash your vaginas. Thumbs down, you know."
Thumbs down.
Thumbs down, wash your pussies. And it was always like, why? That's such an easy angle to attack. Like, why not go the other way? Because we've all had the opposite experience where it's like, "Oh, delicious. Let me live here forever."
Mm-hmm.
Thumbs up, as I'm making now.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I have a very pro-cunnilingual bit. And everyone who's heard it assumes that for some reason women like men, if a woman does a pro fellatio bit on stage, men are going to be like, hey, well, that's true. But people assume women come up to me like,
you're right. If a female comedian's like, I love to suck dick, guys are flocking her after.
There are dudes who like may not admit it.
I'm going to get out to the bar right now. Let me know how the rest of her set.
They buy a CD. They buy a shirt.
It's a keychain. A dick keychain.
On a mailing list.
What else you got? Oh, a tampon? With your name?
I'll get one. I'll buy one.
Just buy them.
Seriously, they will.
They will.
Yeah, I got three of them. Let me give my work one, too.
Yeah.
You're right.
But people assume that this cunnilingus bit flocks women to me. And it doesn't. It does not. Because women are not animals.
No, like us. Like
men can be.
Yeah.
But in Atlanta last weekend, this woman approached me after the show.
You say approach, was this after show and everyone was coming up, or did she linger back?
Cartwheeled up to him.
Well, cartwheeled.
You like, smell this one.
Okay, but she...
smell this one.
Oh, that's the best... I want to stage that now. Yeah. That's just the best fucking cut. And just
I saw it in my mind. I saw it too. And I know where I know where he's talking about.
Oh, the visual. Cartwheel. Ah, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You know how you're supposed to stand there after a set and like talk to
yeah,
people,
say goodbye.
Which I can't do. I'm too shy, believe it or not. I was trying to. I was standing there just kind of like trying to like look up. Because that's the fucking worst. It's like if someone, the worst is then you can see who really didn't like you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because people
coming out of the dark,
like, people who like you will come up and say, "Oh, good job." People who didn't, who are indifferent, will like say, "Oh, you know, nice set or whatever."
But they're also sometimes just as shy as you, and they don't even know how to say. Like, I ever have the people, they just walk by and don't say anything. I go, "Take care, guys. Have a good night." And they look over and like, "Oh, yeah, thank you."
Yeah, I always say thanks for get home safe or some shit to those people, even though
I'm
they
scared
hate
of
you.
Them.
Or maybe their vagina smelled. Maybe they were hustling out meekly.
Oh, meekly. God.
He knows. Well, we got to get out of here before he's on the scent. He's like a wolf. No, it's like a... it's a scary... I hate doing it. But I'm standing there, and by approach, I mean she just straight up walks up to me and was like, do you want to have a cigarette? And I was like, I don't smoke, but you sure?
Yeah,
because I do smoke. Okay, you know, when beautiful women are attached to the proposition, yeah. And she like, I mean, I'm saying this in all earnesty, like the most beautiful women, like just she was a undeniable, like I couldn't believe it, like everything about this woman was everything that I. love in a like just a perfect
like someone built your weird science girl.
Yes, yeah. Exactly, 100%. Like to the point
she
where
she was standing on the other side of a Marlboro Red. Actually, it was an American Spirit Yellow Pack.
Was it?
Yeah.
That already tells me a little bit about
yeah,
it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And she looked
might be on natural. I'm starting to wonder and worry a little
That's,
bit for you.
Know you. What?
Don't say anything.
Let's
Don't say
just
anything.
Go ahead and say the only on natural part of her was that American Spirit. All right. You know what I'm saying? No, but she like it was that we were talking for like 10 minutes and it got to the point where I kept like looking around for other comics, being like, "Whose sister is this?
Yeah. Right.
Like, who's scenting? Like, or is there a new like version of punk where they fuck with complete nobodies? Like, this guy's headlining the Atlanta Improv for $1,500. We're gonna stick it to him, you know." Like,
so I remember doing that. I got $10,000, but
right,
$10,000.
But then, like, so then, like, an hour into the conversation. We end up, you know, as you do, go to some bar. We're like midway through the first drink.
Now, how old is she?
She, if you, 27.
And long hair. What is she wearing? Like, what does she look like?
She,
white girl,
some,
Latina,
here, okay,
what
here
do
we
have?
Ready?
Here?
Ready?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hit you with this. Israeli.
Ooh.
Yoga instructor.
Oh, shit. Come on.
True passion, clowning.
Like a clown?
She wants
juggle
to
juggle fire like what?
No, like for children. Like wants to start her own like clown business, and
wow.
She has like three clown characters that she does, and so she and
sounds great part right there. I'd be like,
dude,
that's kinky though. Could get real kinky.
Cut it.
I mean, you know,
just met Raggedy Ann over here.
Yeah,
real life.
real life. Dude, when she said that, I laughed. Like, ah, that's funny. But then when we got to her apartment.
And she pulled like a bunch of balloons out of her mouth. Like, I'm fucking serious.
Well, she
man.
Showed me all her clown stuff. It was
she
like,
did?
She has a full, like a full on Tickle Me Elmo outfit.
Wow.
Like, get
oh,
into.
She's a furry. No, wait, is that what they're called? Furries,
yeah,
furries, right?
Furries. Yeah, yeah. That's what I asked her that, but she is not. But the, thing
but the fact that she's opening up dude. About that immediately, she's shown some vulnerability and saying, hey, look at our connection. I want to entertain as well.
And I might be batshit crazy.
Might be, which is great for one night.
Dude, well, that's the thing. Like, I don't know. I've never had this before where I've never had a
she
girl.
She have light eyes?
What's that?
Light eyes?
No, brown eyes.
Brown eyes.
Watch out for them. Tie my dick into a balloon dog.
show me how to make my penis whistle like a slide. Boop, when I masturbate. Boop, boop, boop.
Cried glitter. She cried glitter.
Oh, dude. Oh.
I'm sorry. Please continue.
Just saying that just thought it made me think of something cute she said. Anyway, so this. That's the. Can you see? I'm a little enamored with this girl.
I'm a little enamored
anyway.
With her.
So full on Elmo suit.
Well, she wasn't wearing. She just showed it. To
right,
me.
Showed
she
it to
on.
You. Three clown outfits.
Three
she
clown
has.
Outfits. Three clown characters. Good. She basically. But back, we're at the bar. We're not even finished with our first drink. I have never had a lady like basically make the invite, bust the want to get out of here move before. Mm. Never had that happen before. And
that's because you never dated a clown, man.
Exactly. Exactly.
They're aggressive.
Because that's what she said. She said, what's that in your ear?
I got time
it's my house key. No, she basically was like, you want to get out of here? I live like 8 blocks away. And at that point, I'm like, of course I'm getting out of here. What is it? Like, I'm thinking like you are. I'm like, girl might be crazy. It's only one night. And then, but the whole walk over there, I'm like, what if she fucking... Like, am I
thought y'all were going to ride over in her little car.
No.
Together.
Yeah. Like, all of her friends
jump out.
Well, dude, I was thinking while we were walking to her place, I was looking around for like a director and cameras.
You're still not
because in my head,
it, huh?
I'm like, what if I'm such a like I'm in a movie right now and I'm such a good actor that I think it's real. Like, I think like I'm playing the part of a comedian who attracts women somehow. This is an actress.
Yeah.
But I'm such a good actor maybe that right now I really think I'm this character and I don't think I'm in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
So I started looking around like, but not, you know, seriously. And then we get to her place and it's like immediate. It's that kind of sex that you saw on Cinemax when you were 14.
Mm-hmm.
Where like
mm-hmm.
how you thought it was supposed to be before you started having sex.
Mm-hmm.
Like that kind of like there were roses involved. I'm just going to leave it at that. There were roses.
There were roses.
Well, she just had roses. And yeah,
she had a squirting flower.
Well, she had a exactly
one of them
with the clown references. She pulled a I ejaculated one of those multicolored rags.
Scarves.
What are scarves? Woo! Shot scarves out of my dong. And then, like the whole time after we're doing it, we're making whoopee. I'm thinking in my head, like, is she sent from some like government agency that collects sperm? To clone people against their will?
That is an incredible thought. Yeah,
like, we need to clone a 35-year-old pudgy Scorpio.
I mean, I've had girls that I've hooked up with, and I'm like, I can't believe she's hooking up. Why is she with me right now? What is her deal? You know what I mean? That's what you're going through your head?
Dude, all of that.
Yeah.
And then, like, the next day, she takes me that morning. Like, that morning, I was planning, like, all right, we fell asleep. It was like, all right. Quit while I'm ahead. Get out of the situation as fast as possible. And she was like, no, I'm taking you to eat barbecue. She took me. We were in Atlanta. You mm-hmm. know, she took me to this. Fuck, I can't remember the name, but it was delicious. And then dropped me back off at the hotel. And then when we got back to the hotel, she's like, you know, I got like half an hour before I got to be to work. I was like, oh, really? And then we went up to the hotel room and then made like that sort of sex you see on Cinemax, but a different show.
Yeah, like...
You know what I'm saying? The pay-per-view
kind. Yeah, exactly. Like
pay for.
Like, clothes don't come off, and they just come off the right parts.
Damn.
Yeah. Shirt gets pulled overhead, pants get pulled around the ankle. You know what I mean? Like, still fully clothed, but not fully clothed. Fucking quickie. Like, I've never really had that before. Never
yeah.
really quickie. And it was like, all right, I guess I'll never see you again. But then that night, I had one more night at the club.
Well, first of all, how good were the shows that night?
You know how good the shows were? Great, because I didn't give a shit.
Exactly. You don't care about anything.
All right, whatever.
Day is done.
I came in here winning.
Yeah.
And then, but then that night, I get a text from her like, hey, what are you doing? When's your show end? And I was like, oh, you know, this time you want to meet? And she's like, actually, here's just the code to my building. Just come over when you're done.
Good Lord.
Whoa.
I know. And this is fucking great. But I was like, all right.
Are you just bragging now? Now he's not even telling a story. Like, I'm just going to fucking.
Well, no, it gets a little better.
So, Ian, that was kind of like invitation, like, take your time.
Yeah.
And then you can finish your shows, have a drink with the guys. And then
exactly.
And what is she doing?
She was just, she's like, I'm exhausted. I'm just going to be home.
She was working on tricks, man.
She was working on, yeah. She was mastering the downward dog.
I was trying to lighten up on the clowns.
I know you were.
No, don't ever. I mean, that's the thing, dude. Like, she's a...
working on the unicycle, man. You come in, she's just like... 36 seconds so far.
I come in, I can't find her. She gets shot out of a cannon.
Onto the bed, right onto your dick. That's a fucking trick.
Oh, laying that chalk outline
right
on
my
bed
face.
Right there.
Wait, what else do clowns even do?
Scare the shit out of kids. Some
they
of
do
them scare
kids.
The fuck
but
out of kids.
But that's the thing. She's actually, you know what? Wait, hold on a second. I forgot that I could do this real quick. I'm just going to validate this with you guys. I'm going to show you a picture.
Is it a picture you took?
No, it's a picture she sent me in full-on clown gear.
Oh, okay.
Clown gear, he said.
Or just dress full-on clown gear.
I'm interested.
Well, basically, that night, she... Where's that motherfucking picture? Sorry. This is that night. Yeah, it was kind of like here you go. Here's her dressed like a clown. And I'm just going to give it.
Yeah, she is cute.
Oh, yeah.
Super cute.
Super cute. Even in clown getup.
Even in clown getup.
You know? Look at that.
Looks like a hippie Raggedy Ann, I would say. Something
yep.
sort of mm-hmm. like that.
Definitely I got a thing for Jewish girls. Didn't realize that until I met one.
Mm-hmm.
Now I know.
Are you Jewish?
No.
No.
Grew up in the South where, I mean, New Orleans has 8 Jews.
Yeah.
And 4 of them don't acknowledge that they're Jewish.
They <You know? laughs> don't even say they're Jewish.
Right. But anyway, that night, yeah, club, I'm hanging out. I'm getting a ride to her place. And she lived in kind of a, you know, sketchy-esque neighborhood. And I'm like, oh, God damn it. There are no condoms because I know I should stop and get condoms. And the guy driving me is like, this is the only place that we could do this right now. And it's a Texaco and it's like in a ghetto. And mm-hmm. I go into this Texaco and there's like I've never seen this before. It's the counter where it's like glassed in.
Mm-hmm.
But there's like 3 people back there, 3 black dudes just hanging out. One of them works there, and the other 2 are clearly just his friends.
Just yeah. boys.
You know what I mean? And they're just hanging out behind the glass, like
waiting to clown you getting condoms. Well, oh, someone's got a knife.
Well, as soon as I walk in, like 3 more black dudes walking behind me. So it was one of those situations where I'm like, okay, hey, do you guys got condoms? Like, oh, yeah, man. And then, boom, magnums. And it was just like a situation where, like...
Just take them.
Well, yeah, it's like, what could I be? Could I be like, no, do you have something smaller or yeah, just more, yeah. like, more sizable
regular,
for a guy like me?
Regular.
Sizable. So I just, in the moment, was just like, oh, yeah, yeah, that's what I want. Thanks. There's only 3? I'm going to need more than that, but I'll make do.
And, I'll use this one twice.
I'll turn this one inside out.
But then when I get there that night, you know... little rope smooch, whatever. Hey, let's do it. I put the magnum on and it fit.
I wanted to tell Ooh. You, and I wanted to tell
yeah.
you
yeah.
that I recently read that magnums are designed to fit most men, but most men think that they're just like going to be like putting their dick in a sock, and
right.
it's not the case. So actually, try magnums because they actually do fit. Yeah,
but no,
sponsor the Craft Feast.
But right. yeah.
Some of those other ones are like just wringing your dick at the base. Like, you're like, yeah. ah, like, God, I could cut this thing off of me.
Dude, it fit. I was in my head, I was like, do I have a big dick? And just no one's ever said anything. And I've been too humble to ask.
Yeah.
But not too humble to tell the Craft Feast podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Not too have to say this into a microphone, onto the internet, and into the world. Well, the thing is, though, know this. You said they are designed to fit, but when it was done and I pulled out, there was just like an extra 7 inches of condom just dangling off.
Like a wind sock.
Yeah, exactly. So it fits.
I mean,
it fits girth-wise. It doesn't, unless you're long-dicked or you come a lot.
Long-dicked.
Just blow a huge load. But yeah, then I actually, like, this is crazy. I, that night, looked at flights, changed mine.
Changed
the flight. Like, to, I was like...
For a clown.
Well, the thing
she
was...
put it on you, man.
After that night, I was like, I have to know... Like, if I leave here, I'm just never going to truly know if this was just some crazy, like, two-night stand. So I was like, you know, and I looked... And you know how, like, I looked online, and it was like something like... It was $61 or something to change my flight.
How many extra days were you going to stay?
Just one.
Okay.
And I did it, like, that night. And, like, woke up the next day and was like, hey, actually, I'm not leaving until tomorrow. And she was like, oh, fuck, cool. Just stay here, and I'll bring you to the airport in the morning. And we, like, hung out all day. Just hung the fuck out.
Dude, you're living Greece, man. You're having a, you know,
I mean,
summer loving. It's January.
Well, here's, I'm not going to lie. Then that night, the other club in Atlanta, the Laughing Skull, the guy who books that, hit me up and was like, hey, man, do you want to just come do a guest spot? I hear you're still in town. Sure. She came with me. And all these other comedians were there. And I guess she's been around, you know, comedy before, so she knew a couple of them. And I can't even, I can't believe I'm fucking saying this out loud, but I can't even qualify the level of jealousy.
And respect?
Jesus. No, of like other comedians talking to her. I'm like, you fucking don't talk to her.
Oh, yeah.
I paid $61 to stay here, motherfucker.
We've made love with magnums.
I got a magnum tied off upstairs right now to show you.
She showed me, has she ever shown you her Elmo outfit? She's shown it to me. But it's, and I'm going back in like a week or two.
Oh, no. So I wanted to ask, you've heard from her since then?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Going back next week to hang out with her because it's like just for a day, just in route. It's probably because I'm saying it on a podcast, all going to go to shit.
Yeah, this is definitely,
you know what I'm saying?
She's going to hear this and be like, he's telling the whole fucking world.
But that, you never, I guess my point here is you, like, I swear to God, this girl is either the one or it ends next week. This is not going to be just like an ongoing thing. You know what I mean?
I hope it can't be an ongoing thing.
Not an ongoing thing.
I mean, you would have to get together to be an ongoing
thing. She lives in Atlanta. I live where the fuck I live.
Do long distance?
It could be long distance. I just think, seriously, it's like, okay, her and I are going to... I'm going to marry this girl one day, or we're going to just never speak again after next time I see her. It's going to be one of those. I swear. Or
how much of that is up to you?
All of it. Nah, I mean, she's really fucking cool. But I could just tell from spending one more day with her, I'm like, oh, God, this could either be... Have you ever had... I mean, you're married.
Mm-hmm.
Are you married?
No, I'm engaged.
You're engaged. Okay, but you got... Was it like that for both you guys where it was like way early on? You were like, definitely all the way or not at all? Or did it kind of just gradually...
I remember the first night. I met my wife, and then 5 months. We didn't talk for 5 months. I met her, and then once we started dating, I was like, oh, this is on. Yeah, and then we went long distance for a while.
Right.
A long time. We went long distance. In the whole time we've been together, like 6 years, I'm pretty sure we've been together. We were long distance for over a year of it. You know what I mean?
Jesus.
Throughout. Not like the first year. We did 7 months, and
I
then together
at your
for
place
two.
In New York.
Yeah, and then did another 7 months when I moved back to LA, and she was... You know, there.
But
you don't need to put parameters on it, though.
No, you said that's the problem. I
didn't know immediately, no, but I knew. I felt it early on. But then we broke up. We split for 2 years, and we got back together. So,
oh, shit.
Yeah, that never happens.
I mean, it happens, but it's, you know. I say it's like, you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
See, my... That's 100% my problem is that my emotions are all female. Understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like they're all of them. Like I get.
So then she's actually Raggedy Andy.
Right. Okay. Like right now she's probably like the I got this fucking dick flying in to hit this. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? she's all. Yo, I'm telling you, this dude coming in, going to munch my puss, going to fucking hit this shit, and then I'm going to kick him the fuck out, and like I'm over here, I'm like, I'm going in, you know, this might be the one.
This might be the one,
guys.
This
might be the one, or it might not be. It's but my emotion...
Right now, she's fucking just banging a couple dudes from
probably.
Laughing Skull.
Like right now, dude, I'm telling you.
With the two leftover condoms.
She fucking better not be.
There's a magnum right over there in the drawer. You can have that
If
one.
You guys hear of a fucking triple murder-suicide next week in Atlanta. No, it's not. I'm not that crazy.
Triple.
But that's the problem is like I my emotions are... I am a female when it comes to emotions.
Are you?
Yeah, totally.
It also sounds like you just had the best sex of your life, too.
That, too.
Yeah.
But... she was. It's also like,
I mean, it'll make a man, you know, reroute.
Oh, it will.
Extra layover.
It will.
Shit, no big deal.
But it will also. But I also, I'm 35 years old. I've had those experiences enough where, like, you have that one good encounter, and then you try and base an existence off of
yeah.
it. And it's like, oh, never mind. Some things are just supposed to be 48 hours long.
Yeah, man.
I had a girl tell me one time, and she couldn't have been more correct. She said, Ryan, sometimes people are good for just a song. And she was right.
That's really
sometimes
good.
Sometimes people just come in your life, and they're like, you ever hear this fucking song? And then they're gone. You're like, hey,
that sounds.
Thank you.
That sounds like the title of a song.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's all people are only good for a song. Bow, bow, bow. You know, it's like,
my buddy had
but
one
it's
of the.
True.
I love the idea. I love flings. I think flings are awesome.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Especially if both people are on board for them. And my buddy one time met this chick, one night stand with her, right? Next day, she's like, do you want to get breakfast? And he's like, yeah, okay. They go to get breakfast, and he's like, I should go home. And she goes, listen, I know this is crazy, but like, my friends, like my best friend, is having a huge family party down at the beach. It's going to go on all day. Do you want to just come with me to that, and then you can go home tonight? And he's like, all right. He goes down, has a blast, spends the next night with her. And the next morning, so it's a two-night stand.
Right.
Next day, he drives her home, and he's like, so can I get your number? And she's like, let's just leave it at this. Let's just, this was good. Let's just leave it at that. And he was like, oh, my God. And like, then he wanted, then he was like, I love you, girl. I love you.
Definitely. I mean, yeah. Like I, but I feel like that's the other thing is it's like I don't feel like I'm in that age bracket anymore.
Oh yeah.
Where it's like now it's like, nah, I'm not saying I definitely marriage or children or family. None of that shit really crosses my mind. I'm saying more just like relationships now have there has to be something meaningful out of that comes from it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I, if I date a girl for just a, if I end up dating a girl for a year, we better fucking end as like. Arch nemeses who like have learned from
nemeses.
I want something
it.
Out of this girl. Yeah. I want either hate you
or oh yeah, or like best friends.
Yeah.
Or we're like, it's like, hey, I know I can. I got. Hey, you need a clown. Hey, what's that?
You got. You need a clown.
You need a clown for your birthday party. I know one in Atlanta. She's got her own business. She's really cool. She also does a yoga thing. Mm. But like, because I used to. All right, this just sounds fucked up, but I feel like I have, like I don't know how you put karma, good karma when it comes to the female species. When I, because did you guys both go to college?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Did you both graduate?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You both did. Mm-hmm. Where'd you go to college, Jay?
St. Anselm.
Where's it?
New Hampshire.
And where?
I graduated from Towson.
Wow.
What about you?
No state schools.
Well, mine was Towson State.
Okay.
I mean, I went to
it was
state
a state school when I went there. It's called Towson University now, so I just
throw
into Towson. Maryland, Baltimore
Maryland?
County.
No.
Yeah.
Where'd you go?
Well, I went to Baton Rouge Community College and then
BRCC?
BRCC and then LSU for a semester and was like, I'm done.
Oh, that's right.
But I dropped out of school and then lived
I thought
in,
you were going to say clown college.
Yeah. I dropped out of
clown school.
I dropped out of school. And lived in Baton Rouge for like another year, working at this terrible restaurant. It was one of those shitty restaurants. It was an Italian restaurant called Portobello's,
mm-hmm.
but they still had like a kids menu. Any mm-hmm. if you're a restaurant,
fries,
right, like cheeseburgers
and pasta with butter,
right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And by the way, just restaurateurs of the world, fuck a kids menu. Fuck, let the kids grow up and eat whatever you know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do that shit. Anyway. But I worked there, and it was one of those, like, all the kitchen staff was other.
Says the 35-year-old guy with no kids.
Yeah. fucking kids menu.
He's 10 years old. Where the fuck your kids menu?
You know what? I'm not going to order this $20 thing for a kid.
What do you mean you don't have nuggets in a French restaurant?
I bet that's where they actually started.
You think?
Some, like, fancy.
You're right.
McDonald's was actually some, like, upper McDonald's.
Yeah. McDonald's. And then they cut them up.
But I worked at a shitty restaurant where all the wait staff was like, we're all fraternity people. We're all just, and all the kitchen staff were all just terrible people, like exactly mirror images of myself. All just like college dropouts who all we did was.
And you work in the kitchen or you wait tables?
Kitchen. We all worked in the kitchen. But we were like, it was like a group of us. We'd go out, I think it was like almost every night we'd go out and just drink ourselves to the point of tears. We could all feel our youth slipping away from us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I remember there was the hostess. Her name was Amanda. At the time, this was in the year 2000. She was the most beautiful woman I'd ever. She was amazing. But she would never, ever speak to a fucking kitchen troll. mm-hmm. like myself. Mm-hmm. You know, I was like, no, no, and no. Like it was like the Hunchback. Like I was Quasimodo and she was Esmeralda. If Esmeralda were in a sorority, kind of shit. But at the Christmas party that year,
I know this is going. I've been to that Christmas party.
In New Orleans.
Well, this was in Baton Rouge.
Oh, well, okay. Yeah, still, Louisiana alcohol-filled fucking Christmas party.
Exactly. But that was the thing. It was open bar, beer only.
Ooh.
That was so... It was like, all right, we could whatever get wasted. And I remember I was at the bar, and I ordered a Peroni, which, you know, in Italy's nothing. It's mm-hmm. just like garbage. But in Baton Rouge, Louisiana... Like, in Italy, it's like a Bud Light.
Yeah.
A Peroni. In Baton Rouge, it's like a Miller Light. Like slightly more exotic. And I'm ordering a Peroni, and that girl Amanda, who's gosh, so hot, I can still like
What's the layout on her?
I just take like Mila Kunis.
Oh boy.
Like that sort of just like face that jumps out at you. Just beautiful, beautiful. And she rolls up and she orders a Peroni. And I thought that was like a moment where I'm like, we both got Peronis. And she just completely didn't even acknowledge my fucking existence.
The kitchen help, like, fuck you.
Like, I attempted to, like, cheers with her. Because I was like, obviously, she's going to see I have a Peroni. She has a Peroni. And when I go in for the cheers, she just picks up her beer and fucking walks off.
She probably went back to her girlfriend, like, some fucking asshole in the kitchen took the only other Peroni.
Can we go home now? A kitchen troll breathed on me.
She tried. She just bailed on the toast.
Dude. But then I was like... 4 Peronis later, I was I'm in the bathroom, and this fucking I've never wished death on a human being, but I hope this dude is dead. Like he was like, I mean, this guy. His name
you were
was,
a bad place too.
I was a bad place, but this guy was a bad place. Like his name is Chad. I won't say his fucking last name, but like I hope he's dead. Like he was. The like take like a if a gated subdivision were personified,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's a total privileged dick, just a piece of shit. Always, we'd always hear him telling his borderline date rape stories to other mm-hmm. wait staff. We're like, what the fuck? But I'm sitting there in the I'm taking a piss. He walks in again, doesn't even. It's almost like I'm not there,
mm-hmm.
you know. And he right there at the sink counter takes out a dollar bill, takes out an Altoids box. Opens it, removes.
Snorted Altoids?
Well, that's the thing. Took an, and I'm making the finger quotes here, an Altoid.
No, I know where you're going.
Right. And he crushes it up in the dollar, just right there in front of me.
Because who gives a fuck? I can do this. I'm rich privilege.
Exactly. And then walks out with it, like folds it up, kind of puts it in his pocket, walks out. And I didn't catch it right away. I was like, oh, what's he doing with that Altoid?
Mm-hmm.
And
can
then,
I get one of those?
Right, yeah, which I guess they stored out.
They're strong mints, huh?
Right?
Curiously strong.
I mean, maybe that's like a frat thing. I don't know. You gotta. But I, like, 10 minutes later, I'm at the bar. I order a Peroni again, and that dude Chad, I see him like at the end of the bar. He orders 2 Peronis, right? And I'm watching this fucking guy, and I'm like, wait a second, what's he getting? Who else drinks Peroni but Amanda and I? No one else.
Nobody else.
No one. She's probably buying us a couple Peronis. And right there, this is why I wish this dude's fucking dead, because right there at the bar, I mean, there wasn't a shitload of people watching him or anything, but he just takes out that dollar bill and just.
Oh, you saw it.
Powders one of those. Yeah, it was like.
Ooh.
Right. And in case you're not following Crab Feast listeners.
He roofied her?
Yeah. That was not an Altoid. It was not an Altoid. He just
wasn't cocaine either, which is what I thought you were going to say it was.
No. He fucking hit her with the Rohypnol, probably. And that's the thing. That's what roofing looks like. You always think it's going to look like some shady, like.
So can I ask you a personal question?
Yeah.
Do you think you hate him because not only did he do a horrible thing,
right.
but he respected you so little that he showed you that he was going to roofie a girl, the one that you wanted to be with, and you saw him do it, and you didn't have what it took to stand up and say, hey, that guy roofied you.
Well, we haven't finished the story. But no, I hate that guy. Yeah, because he roofied a girl, but definitely because, yes, to him, I was a non-existent piece of shit. Like, I knew a little bit about this guy because at that point, I'd worked in the same restaurant as him for almost a year. He drove he drove the first Range Rover I'd ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't even, I was like, oh, what's Range Rover?
Mm-hmm.
I knew he was a DKE, whatever.
Fraternity.
That's a fraternity. and I knew he was from Monroe, Louisiana. That's what those are the three things.
Someone's going to find this guy.
Right. His name's Chad. I hope he's dead.
I thought he was going to find him right now. Chad, get your ass out of here. He ain't dead.
He ain't dead. He's actually some
rollman.
A guy in a black mask drags him out. Like, we got his head for you.
Here he is.
But, well, here's the thing. So he fucking roofies the, he hits the, I'm like, Jesus Christ. And it all comes together in my head like, holy fuck, I can't believe I just saw that. And he walks over. Amanda is sitting at a table with her back to us, talking to like another girl who's also sitting at a table, right? And I see Chad. He puts her, the roofied Peroni down,
mm-hmm.
taps her on the shoulder, makes her aware of it, right? She's still finishing one in her hand. And laughs like, oh, you got me another one, ha. And then he's like, yeah, yeah. And then that dude, Chad, goes outside, presumably to high-five the devil or whatever, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I will never experience a fucking moment of clarity like this in my life. But before I knew it, I was at that table sitting. She still had her back to me, and I had a full Peroni, and I switched them. Like lightning fast, just switched them, and suddenly I had
boom
the roof.
This roofied Peroni. And she just had this, I hadn't even taken a sip of it yet, Peroni.
Yeah.
And I just sat there, and in my head I was like, all right, I can't just get up and leave. I got to, like, I don't know. And then finally she turned around to get, like, she finished hers and was getting another, and she looked at me like I was just sitting there. And the only thing I could say was, you got a cigarette?
Like, uh-huh.
And she goes, fuck off, no. Faggot, fuck off. And I was like, sorry.
Whoa.
And I fucked off. I fucked
Holy
right off.
Holy shit.
I'm telling you, like, they were
those are horrible human beings.
Yeah,
she has no idea what you just saved her from.
She had no clue. And, like, I walked away with that roofied Peroni.
Her dumb ass might have been like, where the fuck was that roofie you said you were going to put in here, Chad?
Yeah.
I don't feel anything.
Dude, I tell you. And you know what? I know what you're both thinking. Yeah, yeah. I could have dumped it out.
No, you didn't, dude. But
what kind of Scorpio would I be if I didn't?
You tracked that shit?
I fucking chugged it.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
I was going to joke. Did you?
I chugged that roofie
from the pain. From
just
the pain.
Numb it all.
I'll show you fuck off.
I'm not even going to fucking lie, though. In my head, and I was slightly drunk already, it was a move of like, I will strike this from the earth.
So what happened?
Well, have you ever taken a Rohypnol or Valium?
I've been drugged.
Yeah, yeah. Like, basically, the best description I could have is that it feels like your bones are suddenly gone. Like, no bones.
Yes.
You're just...
Yes.
And just, I didn't give a shit. Because this is the thing. Up until right now, this is a heroic tale.
Mm-hmm.
If it would have ended right then and there, it would continue to be a heroic tale.
Yeah.
But basically what happened is I sat at the bar, drank a few more beers. They were finally like, all right, everybody's got to go. And I ran up to her and was like, I'm going to say something. But one of the other kitchen guys was like, dude, you're fucking crazy. And I had kind of told him what happened, but he kind of didn't believe me.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically the way Amanda's car was parked was up against the wall. So she was backed up. So I ran out and laid in front of her car. And
Oh, my God. The best way to get her to listen.
No, she did. I mean, that's the thing. It happened so quick that I think she thought happened was that I fell, you know? Because mm-hmm. another guy picked me up like, you got to fucking get control of your mind here, dude. And then I kind of ran off by myself. And I knew everyone was going to this bar called Rotolo. I knew that's where everyone was going. So I went to a payphone. And I was like, in my head, I was like, I'm going to call the cops on Chad. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say this dude's got roofies. He's at this bar. I saw him do it to a girl. Something's got to happen.
I drank the evidence.
But exactly. Test
yeah.
my blood.
Don't test. Yeah.
But again, what kind of Scorpio would I be if I used logic? So I called 911, and it was like 911 emergency, and I said, he's got a bomb. He's got a bomb.
Oh, my God. You bombed Fred in the
and this, well, and this is
holy
this
shit.
Is the year 2000 when there no you yeah. know no one had cell. I didn't have a cell.
Holy crap.
I called like, he's got a bomb. And they're like, sir, calm down. Who's got a bomb? And that was when I realized like, oh, my God. And hung up and fucking walked to my apartment, which is like 2 miles away. So like nothing. Heard no one's day got saved. That guy, Chad, probably still roofied other people. You know, mm-hmm. I told everyone, I was like, look, you know, this, I told other kitchen employees like the next day, like, this is what happened. They're like, dude, you can't prove that though.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just go calling out a dude And I was like, why not? I drank the shit. Why would he fucking spike a girl's drink?
I drank it.
But then he quit. He like 2 days later quit. And then like 4 weeks later, I quit. But I hope that guy's dead. And I hope Amanda is, I hope she married some douchebag and got knocked up with four kids she doesn't love and lives a miserable existence in Baton Rouge because she was a fucking asshole.
I love that he's wishing
that's
on
a summary
her.
Of it. Yeah. I love it, right?
I hope she's married some lawyer. They live in some big house, and
yeah, and he cheats on her. She cheats on him, and their kids will never know who they really are as people. I don't know. Just she was a dick. But yeah, that's.
I mean, I've had work Christmas parties. They went a little different than that.
Yeah,
I did have one Christmas party. Like our work. If you've ever worked at a restaurant, Christmas party is the greatest day of the year. Everyone's getting drunk because all restaurant people get drunk anyway.
Restaurant, I mean, like, they say being in Hollywood or being in the entertainment business, people get fucked up. Culinary people?
Oh, yeah.
Like, lifelong chefs or, like, lifer, like, people who are like, I'm a sous chef. Those guys have so much fucking everything's in their system.
Big time. Chefs are nuts.
Chefs are party way harder than... Bartenders, too.
I may have gotten lucky at a Christmas party upstairs in the office. May have. Which is a great Christmas party.
Where in Boston?
No, in L.A. World Cafe style. I'm not going to give full details. And then another time at a Christmas party, we was like flirting with some girl, and everyone's dressed up nice, and she's running after me, and then we're like going back and forth, and then she slammed the door on me, and I had red wine in my hand. Boom. All over my shirt, all over my sweater.
Was...
Ruined it.
And then, wow, that's crazy. That's insane, bro.
I know, man. It was intense, dude.
I feel like you're giving us the PG stories because you know your wife listens to this podcast.
She doesn't
listen.
The one, but
there was no, it wasn't red wine. It was blood. It was a cult. There was a coven going on upstairs.
There was something weird about restaurants that everyone kind of, they're very incestual. You know what I mean? Everyone's kind of doing something somewhere with someone. Well, obviously not when in your sitch.
I mean, look, and I'm going to say this.
Oh,
and,
the kitchen help was fucking the shit out of each other.
Yeah, dude.
That's all the way that did keep stay with your car.
What do
you
think? That's why. Why do you think they got a walk-in cooler? Huh?
Yeah, no kidding.
Why do you think you got to walk into a cooler? Fuck that. Walk into.
You're putting horny human beings around alcohol and food all day. Of course they're going to
find
that.
And I say this, this is no disrespect. This is just truth. Maybe not so much anymore, but I think for a while, anyone who was a chef or in the culinary world, that was not their first choice in life. You know what I'm saying? Like mm-hmm. They went to culinary school because they tried three other things that didn't go right. And throughout those three things, they got real fucked up. Tried drugs they normally wouldn't have, drank more than they normally wouldn't. Like, you know what? I could cook.
I think the pressure of cooking, especially as the head chef. We had a crazy chef, and he was loopy. He used to mess with Coonsie all the time. I bring up this guy I worked with, Coonsie, all the time. He used to mess with them all the time. And they had like the same – he had the same – Coonsie has the same birthday as this guy's dad. And he'd be like, I can't fucking stand you, bro. And he goes, why? He goes, get the same birthday as my dad, like fucking hate him for it, and he getting scraps with everybody. He would get in like the chef, you know, because he's a little nuts. And one day he took a butcher knife and held it like in the handle, and then put the flat side up against his forearm, you know, so the blade was out, and grabbed one of our bartenders and threw him against the wall, and was like, just like, I'll fucking cut you, dog.
Wow,
full blade.
Yes,
two that's he's like, bro,
that,
just dude. Chill out, dude, chill out, and like,
I'll
boom.
Cut the onion.
That's what I'm saying, dude. Culinary, maybe now, because you know now there's definitely people who get into culinary school because they want to be on TV. They want to have a TV show.
Sure,
but that's something that's really only developed in the past 5 or 6 years. Really.
Yeah, and now there are kids that want to be chefs.
Right,
you know what I mean, because they see how it all goes.
But I feel like, I mean, my dad owns a catering company.
That's right.
And like, you know, throughout high school and even when I was starting out in comedy living in New Orleans, I worked for my dad. And every chef, every sous chef, every, like my uncle's the head chef, he's fine. But like all these,
he's
you
fine.
Know, and
fine.
But he's probably really fucked up just ways I don't know about. Yeah. But like all the sous chefs he ever had or... They were always fucking like that's where I got if I ever wanted blow or weed or any like those were the guys I would go to for years. Like, hey Mark, can you? Oh yeah, yeah. You know, walk out to his car, He's got, you know, a fucking sack of pills and a like an ounce. And he's like, how much you want? And I'm like,
lift up that T-bone. You know? Yeah. A bunch of fucking rubies.
Our chef, he had Monday, Tuesdays off, right? So Monday was his Friday. Tuesday was his Saturday. So you work with him on Wednesday. Whew. He did not look good. He'd be out back. What happens? Like, hookers and blow last night, bro. Hookers and blow. Waiting for that paycheck.
Chefs are getting down.
Waiting for that paycheck. That's where his paycheck went.
I had no idea.
Oh, yeah.
Be waiting for his paycheck, bro.
Dude, I mean, the only time I ever saw my dad was really good at like being a boss. I thought, you know, he was very fair, very cool to his employees. The only time I ever saw him flip out on anyone was on his sous chef named Ryan Stone. Fucking piece of shit. He was a bad dude. But
Let's talk about Ryan Stone.
Ryan, get your ass out here, man.
Ryan, you motherfucker. Well, that's the thing. He's actually dead. So no, I'm fucking with you.
Oh man,
he was a bad dude. He was just an asshole. But he worked for my dad, and there was a delivery driver once.
Was that your first job working for your dad, or did you have jobs before that?
I had jobs in between that.
Okay,
like working for my dad, and then working at that restaurant.
It's gotta be tough working for my dad again.
Yeah, it sucked. It was a family business, too, so for the longest time, I was expected to take it over.
Mm-hmm.
And just eventually one day, I'd be like, no, it's not what I want. And everybody, of course, took it personally. I was like, I'm not. It's not an attack. I just don't want to be a caterer.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with being a caterer. I'm going to say this right now. Family businesses are bad ideas, man. It's a bad idea. Don't do it. Like, I have an aunt and my uncle who haven't spoken to each other in like over a decade and probably will never speak to each other
over an eBay account.
Actually had nothing to do with the business, over an argument about the Saints, but it's because they were in the same office. No, I mean, business shit just went awry between the two of them. They don't speak. Christmas is weird when they both are around.
Yeah.
Like, one of them will probably die soon. They're older, and it's like they're going to. You know,
die like that.
It's like it's
family. I hear that. You know,
family businesses are fucked up. Like my dad, my aunt, my other aunt get along, but it's just. I have an uncle we never see because he retired and was like, "I'm out." Like, you guys, fuck you.
Wow, everybody was in this business.
Yeah, my dad's entire he has five siblings. They all work for him.
Oh wow.
But I saw him once. Like, there was a delivery driver, Cisco. That's like all.
I know Cisco.
Yeah. Wait, from.
Yeah. Nice try.
No.
Nice try.
It was after the, you know, he only had that one hit, so he started driving delivery
trucks. Drive your dad's truck. Cisco's drive your dad's truck.
The do-rag on.
Still got the blonde hair.
Leather fucking vest and shit shirtless.
He's got the hand truck, and he's doing the thong song hand walk. Dropping shit off. No, this guy made a delivery. He was in the wrong because instead of just using the bathroom in the building, he fucking walked around the side and took a piss.
Outside the building.
Yeah, but I mean, like, it wasn't like in plain sight, but it was like the guy clearly was in a hurry, but that chef Ryan saw him do it and went outside and yelled, "Hey, don't be such a fucking N-word about that." Next time, ask to use the bathroom. And the guy, you know, was so embarrassed of getting caught that he just got in his truck and got the fuck out. But my dad heard the entire exchange and, like, fired that dude Ryan on the spot.
Calling him the N-word?
Well, he was just like, there's two things. You will not fly with me, and one of them is that. He's like, he's like, that's a company.
The Asians are one thing. Let me tell you something.
If that guy was Asian, he said, don't you fucking, you know, take peace inside bathroom. That'd be fine. But,
jeez.
Yeah, but it was fucking crazy. But that dude Ryan, after Katrina, like, tried to sabotage my dad's business a whole bunch.
After Katrina?
Yeah.
Why?
Like, Katrina wasn't enough.
Right,
because he was a fucking bad dude. He was a piece of shit.
Damn.
Mm. But that's the kind of, I mean.
I had to fire my buddy one time.
You had to fire a friend?
From the paint business?
From the paint business.
It's not Ryan right now?
No.
It's coming.
I had to fire him. It was bad. Then we all went to my brother's place, pizza, and he ignored me and shit. And everyone was like, you fired Derek? I'm like, what do you want me to do, man? The guy was, you know, he was no good.
All I had, was it hard?
Nah, it wasn't that tough.
Were you guys still friends afterwards?
Nah.
So you lost a friend?
But we weren't super tight. Okay, he needed a job. Right. I gave him one, you know?
You lost a bad coworker. That's all you fucking lost.
Exactly.
All I ask is if our show, Best Bars gets picked up, mm-hmm. and a couple episodes in, they want me off,
mm-hmm.
all I ask is that we just do an episode where I drink myself to death.
Death.
Where, like, I die.
Cater the episode, man.
Like, I get OD. I fucking get alcohol poisoning on the show. And I'm dead, and that's it.
and they you get killed. You're the first person to get killed off a hosting gig.
Exactly. And I'll fake my own death on TV.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Then hire another guy. Because I'm, I don't know. But that's...
Yeah. I'd love to fake my own death. I've always... I kind of used to fantasize about that as a kid.
You want to do that shit?
No, faking your own death, you know, because I got used to... You know, do you think Tupac's still alive?
No. No. You don't?
I have hard evidence.
Hard evidence he has over there. What do you got, a do-rag?
I just used do-rag. I got some evidence.
What about Andy Kaufman?
No, the guy's dead, man.
That's the one that people...
Here it's been done before. I'm sure of it. And I read an article that wasn't long after 9/11 where they said a bunch of records for people were lost, destroyed. So people like that could fucking pull it off and start over again or whatever under a new name, new ID, that whole thing. But other than all these big people, no, I'm not buying that shit.
I mean, yeah, that's the same thing for... Fucking, I don't like bringing up Katrina again, but yeah, after that, like, so many, like,
I imagine,
there were so
yeah.
many people just with, like, I don't have any form of identification.
No, I have nothing.
I cannot prove that I'm me.
And also, there go the creditors. Yeah. Bye. Yeah. And if you're in debt, fuck it. You're going to be some, I'll be somebody else. Mm-hmm. I will be somebody else.
Well, that's a thing I feel like, when we were shooting that show, even, like, some of those people we met, bartenders, some of those people are like, oh, there's a history.
Oh, big time.
I can see a darkness.
Yeah, there's some bartenders. Yeah. There's just people you meet, you know, like you've been around the country. You meet people, you're like, ah, oh, this is something. Especially when you're meeting strangers all the time, like going on the road. Back to like when we talked about going on the road to stand-ups. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You meet people in certain places, you're like, who's this guy? I don't want to know too much about this dude because he's hiding something.
Yeah, they all love him here, but they fucking hate Larry in Milwaukee, man. There's some shit he did that went down there.
They call him Milwaukee Larry because he ain't allowed back.
For real.
And you got to do some real crazy shit in Milwaukee because we've been there.
Milwaukee's a fun fucking town.
It is a fun. Mm-hmm. It was a fun town. I was impressed. I have you ever been to, what's your least favorite place you've ever been?
Paw, West Virginia.
Paw, West Virginia.
Paw, West Virginia.
Like PAW?
100% correct.
Paw, West Virginia.
Paw, what the
West
hell happened Virginia. There?
What were you doing in Paw?
I was delivering auto parts, and on the way back, I stopped for some lunch, and I had a strip club to kill time because traffic was going to be crazy when I got back into civilization, and it was just a fuck. It was a dump. It was a dump.
Paw.
Yeah. The people were not nice. Strippers had bite marks and bruises. Like, it was just one of those places where you're like,
I was delivering auto parts. Don't even have a real auto stuff. I had to deliver some auto parts.
I was taking an engine.
There's some dude in Paw right now listening, not even getting upset. He's like, he's talking about Paw. Yeah. Fuck the crab face from Paw, West Virginia.
He's the first person to say the name of Paw outside of Paw in this century. In the 21st.
You asked. That was my... Of all the places, I've driven the country 3 times, and of all the places I've been, that is the least...
Have you... Is that something favorite. You did for a while, was drive the country?
No, I drove out here and went... The first time, went to college, and then drove back and to finish.
Just because commuting.
The earthquake had hit and destroyed the school, so I went back and finished at Towson State, and then I drove back again, and each time I took a different route. Like, the first time I went 70 across through the Rockies in my Civic original rims, made it up the motherfucking Rocky Mountains in a blizzard and down.
Ooh.
That little tiny Civic did. Sure did, all the way across
Crab
the country.
Crab Feast brought to you by Honda.
Honda Civic.
Exactly.
And then when I came back, I went L.A., and I went down through 40 across the south a little bit to Oklahoma and stuff and back up. And then when I came back again, I went all the way down to the 10 through Texas and up. See, I haven't done the northern way much.
I've done that one. I did New Orleans to here, the 10, and then back. One of the most depressing.
That West Texas is a motherfucker. It is forever.
West Texas is like, oh, I see where they got the idea for the movie Tremors.
It is.
Because it's like that. Yes. Where
is forever.
Everything?
It's most everything. Of your trip is West Texas. That's where I threw my ice scraper out the window. I was like, get rid of this motherfucker.
Well, I just have trouble believing. That's why that nothing's ever been there yet. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're driving, you're like, there has to have been shit here at some point.
Well, they talk about overcrowding, but when you drive through the country, you're like,
yeah.
There's plenty of motherfucking room, everybody. We just all want to be in these specific places.
Of course.
Like seeing actual tumbleweed,
mm-hmm.
where you're like, that's real. That's a real thing. I'm going to hit it just to see if it's up. Oh, and that's what fucked up my Saturn.
Saturn.
Love Saturn.
I want to meet the guys that put that. There's a fence that goes all the way across the goddamn country.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, like property line fence or something. I want to meet the people to put that shit up.
I want
to
meet. You've been driving through a town and you see like a wall on the side and there's a door and it's got a lock on it. I just want to be like, I think a fun show would be you drive, you stop, you're like, who's got the key to this door?
Yeah.
And what's it go to? And let's get that person and be like, how come you got this key, man? Why do you have this key? Like those random gates. You'd be like, who has that key?
What is?
And then I always thought it'd be a fun show just to be driving through a town and you pull in, you see a light on in like an apartment above a liquor store and be like, let whoever's up there, we should go interview just because they got the light on. And you just knock and you're like, what's up, man? They're like, man.
That's like, yeah. You ever
random?
You know how your uncle or your friend, if you're like walking down the street and there's like a limo or like a Ferrari parked, they'll be like, "Oh, guys, here's my ride."
Yeah,
I like to do that if you walk up on like a '93 Tercel.
Yeah,
like, oh, sorry, guys, here's my ride.
All right, I'm out of here, guys.
Me, man. Yeah.
No, the fucking shit. You just what were we talking about?
The light
random
on
doors.
Random
fences,
doors, light on over the liquor store.
Son of a bitch.
Driving cross country.
I remember
tumbleweeds.
Something. Did you ever look at tumbleweed up close?
No.
There's no way that shit's not man-made.
Just rolling.
There's a company. There's a fucking dugout somewhere.
Dugout.
Or an underground.
Where they just have like fans and they blow them out. Like, send three more out. Dude,
there's no, like, it shit is so intricately woven.
A dugout.
It's like there's an underground bunker. Like, make the tumbleweed. And also, I hate the West Texas. This shit's scary. Oklahoma's not. I mean, even Colorado. Like once you like when you're not near the mountains or
pockets.
Near Denver, it's
Illinois. Yeah. Same thing. Once you get on the other side of Chicago, Indianapolis, going in, you hit Indianapolis, and as soon as you get out, it's just corn again.
You ever?
There's plenty of room here.
You ever
everybody.
Been to Peoria, Illinois?
I've not. I don't think I've been. If I've been, I've driven through. I haven't been.
You? Mm-mm. That's one of the most depressing. Because it's like there's Chicago, and then 2 hours away, there's Peoria.
Is it where? South? Where is Peoria?
I think I'm pretty sure it's southwest.
Is that where UI is?
No, that's Champaign.
What's in Peoria? I feel like there's something.
That's,
is it the capital?
No, it's where Sam Kinison's from.
Okay.
And Richard Pryor.
Yeah, Pryor, I was going to say, is Peoria, Illinois.
Both but it's also, I don't know, I guess I like to call these, I don't even know, like parasite cities, but it's like when you're less than 3 hours away from a major city, it's just going to suck up any sort of originality or individual thought. Mm-hmm. It's going
to
get sucked right out of that
city. The big city.
So it's just like this leftover, like, hey, come on, we're a town.
Come on, we got stuff.
Come on, we got
shit, dude.
But like the guy to girl ratio is like 9 to 1.6.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, oh, I'm sorry. If you live in Peoria right now, I don't mean to offend you. But move to Chicago. It's less than 3 hours away.
That's all you need. Chi-town.
Hey, wait, where are you from again? Boston.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you from? Baltimore?
Yeah, Maryland.
We got three major cities right here.
My least favorite club in the world is in Baltimore, Maryland.
Which one?
The Baltimore Comedy Factory.
Yeah, why?
Everything about it.
Yeah, it's the old improv.
I know, but just, I mean, and the guy was very nice, and he probably listens to this club, but... Does he listen to this podcast?
I doubt it.
Well, no, you know what? Maybe he should. It's a poorly fucking run. There's a guy, the host. I mean, I'm sorry. The feature is the feature every week. He's a dude named Alabama, and he does Bernie Mac material. You know what I'm saying? And so, like.
And then you have the. The bar is in the back corner, and it's just a bar. You can bring food in from outside if you want to, because it's in like a courtyard area with other restaurants and shit around that you wouldn't even know it. It's tucked back so far in the corner, you have no idea where the fuck it is.
No.
And then you go in, and you go up two flights of stairs, and then you walk all the way to the back of this fucking warehouse, and then it sits in there. The green room faces the Baltimore City Police Department, the actual jail and everything right there off the block, which is on the other corner. And there's a bar right in the corner, and the staff talks so loud to one another over the bar and shit that you don't know if it's fans in the corner like causing a ruckus or talking to you or saying shit to you. It is just so fucking loud over there the whole time.
And
obstructed views with poles and shit.
Like how the Wire, HBO's The Wire, did five seasons on how dysfunctional the city of Baltimore was,
mm-hmm.
I could write a TV show that did five seasons on how terrible that club is. like the first is all about the staff, and then the second one's all about the hotel they put you up in. Third one, location. Fourth season, about Alabama.
the whole season about Alabama.
Why your name Alabama? Why are you doing Bernie Mac material? Stop doing crowd work. Fifth season would be the shortened season because they'd file a cease and desist just like the city of Baltimore did against HBO, in case anyone was wondering why that show ended so quickly. Did you know?
I didn't know that.
Did you know that either?
No, yeah. And I'm a fan. Well, they did what, five seasons?
Apparently, they were supposed to do seven.
Oh.
But Baltimore filed a lawsuit. They were like, stop it. You're hitting the two.
We're taking it hard over here, man.
There were certain things where it was like, wait a second. That's all based on real happenings, goddammit.
All of it was, yeah.
So, but if The Wire had Sopranos ratings, HBO probably would have fought the lawsuit. But they were like, all right, no one's watching this.
And then the DVD salesman.
And then the DVD, yeah.
I got stock in them.
Stop.
My father-in-law loves The Wire. Every time he sees, have you seen The Wire? Well, let me send you the DVDs.
Have you seen The Wire?
I watched that one season when the guy was running for mayor. And it was fantastic, but I never got really in.
You never watched any of the other ones leading up to?
No, I just caught that.
So you had no idea.
Did you watch Treme? You're Louisiana guy.
I tried. It wasn't every show. That's the problem with TV shows or movies about New Orleans. It's like it's a fucking city, man. No one needs to make a gumbo real quick. You know what I mean? Like not everybody plays an instrument. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like there is that aspect of it, but I felt like they really just did. And also they didn't.
It's still going, isn't it?
No, yeah. It's one more season. Yeah,
one more season. Yeah.
I don't know. I felt like they never really captured the essence of the city.
Yeah.
And they just tried to make it too much of a caricature of itself. Like everything does when they, like, you ever seen that movie Down by Law?
Mm-mm.
Great fucking, is it Jarmusch? I'm not sure. But it's a great movie. Tom Waits is in it. Everything's great until they leave the French Quarter and they're in the swamps.
Yeah.
It's like the swamps are like 80 miles away from the city of New Orleans.
Yeah, but they're just moving. Yeah. Well, I mean, you ever seen a movie where they use the outside of something in L.A. and then they go in it somewhere else? You know what I mean? It's like, you know.
No, but I mean, it's literally like they cross Esplanade Avenue and it's like, watch out now, the gator going to get you. It's like, no, there's not. There's none. Hold on. Let me think about this. No. Unless someone releases alligators in the streets of New Orleans. There are none. Not for 80 miles.
Imagine that, alligators.
Alligator's good. I had alligator when I was down in New Orleans.
Dude, it's fucking delicious.
It is good.
Illegal to shoot and kill, though.
I thought it was legal now, but how they do the whole show? They have swamp men or whatever. They go out and kill them.
You
could
get licensed to
do
it.
They put the stop to it. Yeah. And then I guess they bred so much, now they're saying you can go ahead and fucking do it again.
Oh, they bred them? And then what, they deep fry?
Yeah. Well, do you guys know...
reproduce that work.
Do you bred them? I get it. Do you guys know what a Nutria is? Have you ever heard of
a Nutria? Yeah, Nutri-Rats. I do know what a Nutria is.
Yeah, you actually have the most New Orleans-like accent I've ever heard.
I've gotten Louisiana before,
You definitely have, like, because it's just like a slow East Coast accent.
Drawl, yeah.
Yeah, like you definitely would fit right in there.
But Nutri-Rats are like fucking...
You even say it again?
Nutri-Rats.
That is insane.
Why?
You say it like my fucking dad would. Like if you read it, it's spelled and actually pronounced Nutria. Like a Nutria rat.
Wow.
But in New Orleans, they say Nutra. And you're nailing it right now.
Nutri-Rats, yeah.
Nutri-Rat. You're like my uncle.
I worked on something that was, I didn't even know what they were. Like a couple years ago, I got asked to do some like VO and punch up writing to make this Nutri-Rat show.
What?
Yeah, it was on Spike. And
it was all about hunting Nutri-Rats?
Yeah, because I didn't know anything about these fucking
How
things.
How big are the size of dogs?
Nah, they're not size of dogs, but they're like,
raccoon?
I would say big, a little bigger than raccoons.
Like the size of like a Shiba raccoons. Inu.
What the hell's a Shiba Inu?
You know what a Shiba Inu is, dog person? Come on. It's like a tiny... They're like a giant cat. But yeah, they're just...
Yeah,
they're
big fucking teeth, and they're just tearing the fucking marsh and the
it's
swamp
It's legal
all
to
apart.
Pull over and open fire on neutral
If you bring in a tail, they'll give you... I think it's $20 a tail.
Something like that, yeah.
There are people... Rednecks will pull over on the side of the road and take one that's been rotten just for the $20.
Jesus.
You can also eat it. And also...
People eat them,
tasty?
Yeah.
I mean, it's meat.
Have you had it?
Yeah.
You have?
Yeah.
What is it?
I mean, it just tastes like
Dad
meat.
Dad serves at the catering company.
Sinotra. Shh. Yeah. Hey, Dad, is this new? No, it's new meat. It's a new back of cow. No, it's fucking meat. I don't. There's nothing I haven't eaten. I mean, I've tried everything. It's all. I've eaten Rocky Mountain oysters.
Yeah. No.
No, haven't done
no.
it.
No, me either. You ever killed something to eat it?
I've been hunting once. I shot a pig and it would just fucking fuck my head up.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I still eat meat.
What kind of gun did you shoot him with?
12 gauge.
Wow.
Yeah,
shot. Were you hunting for a while, or were they wild boar, or was it just like a place to? Like,
no, oh, it was there's a
pen and a farm.
There's a place called in Louisiana called Honey Island Swamp. Where it's just like those hunters. You can go. There's game wardens running around.
That's what Segura went and did one of those. Remember, he was telling us. He said to fuck with him too. He's just like he said. What he said they did was put a trough of food out. And then they would come to the fucking trough, and then he's like, that's not hunting. Like, that's fucked up,
well, dude,
and he didn't want to do it.
That's all hunting. Like, people who hang out in deer stands and shit, that's cowardice nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
The animal can't smell you. You put deer piss all over downwind. To attract it, and then you just hang out in a tree, and you blam. Yeah. And it's like, there's no sport in that.
No.
You're a fucking coward. I had a 12-gauge. I learned how to shoot it the night before. My friend's dad taught us. We all went. Fucking 16-year-old kids, four of us, one of us had a hunting license, so we all went.
Yeah.
And there was pigs. I shot one. No one ever explains the sound the animal makes when it gets fucking killed.
Yeah.
Or just like a death sound. And then it was like I was responsible for getting that pig back to a truck.
You know? You were.
Well, yeah, like they
shot it, right?
I shot it. So it was like,
and how'd you get it back?
They tied its like hooves.
Yeah.
I didn't do any of that shit because I didn't know how to do it. And you just drag it back, basically.
Wow.
Because it was heavy as fuck. But it was like
emotionally too? Were you like the whole walk back? Like, what the fuck did I do?
Yeah. Yeah. It was a very like, why? Like, I mean, I guess because they did, the guy we went with, his dad took it and fucking chopped it up.
And
yeah,
did you get some of the meat?
I didn't take any of it.
Really?
I just didn't. It fucked with my head. It's the idea of like, oh my God, that's a dead thing.
Yeah.
But I mean, still, like I said, still to this day, I eat meat. I don't think of it while I'm eating the meat, but like, I could never hunt again unless
You don't cry any like your dad's ham sandwiches and shit?
No, like, it's not like Where the Red Fern Grows or whatever, or A Day No Pigs Would Die. Pinky. Yeah, dude, it's fucked up. I don't get how people do it for sport and don't feel like a piece of shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I get it. You like your guns. Shoot targets or something. You know what I mean? Like, just, it's like, I don't know. I don't get it. But that's obvious. I mean, we're all open. We're all bleeding hearts, right?
Yeah, I mean, I've never hunted. You know what I mean? But if I was going to, it would be, I'd want it to be like Deer Hunter. I want it to be like a sport and a challenge. You seen Deer Hunter?
I thought, yeah, you want to do the thing with the Russian roulette?
No, I knew you were going there.
Yeah, you do?
No, I want to do like the one bullet and just like in the mountains and going around, you know what I mean? But I've never done it, never been interested into it.
You ever see that 30 for 30 on Bo Jackson?
Yes.
Where all he does is make arrows.
I was telling him about that.
He's the archer now.
He goes down in his fucking little shed and makes arrows.
Yeah.
And does he hunt with them?
Yeah, he's a huge hunter. Yeah. He's been a hunter
but
for
to me, that's a completely different thing.
Yeah, of course.
That's like, you get one shot at that shit.
Yeah.
Unless you're carrying 40 fucking arrows.
Yeah, but then even then, it's like the one misses by the time you're... Yeah.
Does he make his bow, too?
I'm sure.
Bow make bows?
Bow make bows.
Bows, bows. Bow knows bows.
Bow knows bows. why isn't there a fucking bow... Hey, bow and arrow companies, get on it. Bow knows bows.
Seriously, bow knows bows.
Jesus. Crab Feast brought to you by Bo Jackson.
Well, speaking of being brought to us by Bo Jackson, that is all the time for the Craft Feast. Sean, we appreciate you being here.
He's coming over, Sean.
Please plug away again one more time. Twitter, whatever.
Oh, Twitter,
you'd like
at
the
Mr.
Date.
Sean Patton, Chicago Comedy Bar, February 21st, 22nd. If you're in Sweden, I'll be there in March.
Nice.
You guys Swedish listeners?
Yeah, I'm sure we do.
A couple of them out there.
Really? If you do, I'm in 23rd through 27th. I'm in Stockholm. There you go.
Perfect. Everybody out there, check that out if you're in Stockholm. As always, I'm Jay Larson Comedy on Twitter and Instagram, jlarsoncomedy.com.
I'm Ryan Sickler on Twitter and Instagram, ryansickler.com. We'll talk to you all next Tuesday.